39 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Hunt for Wolverine spotlight episode. Today I'm going to be talking about Mystery in Madripoor, issue number 3. It's written by Jim Zub. We've got art by Tony Silas, colors by Felipe Sobrero, and letters by Joe Sabino. So I've gone back and forth about how good this title is. It's been kind of inconsistent. First issue was okay. Second issue was great. This issue is a little bit of it's just not quite as good as issue 2. So for those not familiar, it ties into the Hunt for Wolverine event. You know, Wolverine's body is missing. And this is basically the X-Men book, the X-Men out there searching for him. You know, we have Weapon Lost, where it's kind of the street level detective story with Daredevil and Misty Knight and Cypher and the Inhuman Frank McGee out there looking for him. We've got the Adamantium Agenda, which is kind of the Avengers book out there looking for him. We've got Claws of the Killer, which is Sabretooth and Lady Deathstrike and Daken, kind of the villains out there looking. It's kind of the horror book with zombies and such. And this is the X-Men book, right? Of course, the X-Men are going to be out there looking for him. But I said right from the beginning, I thought it was pretty strange that it's only female X-Men, right? We've got Psylocke, Rogue, Storm, Domino, Jubilee, and Kitty Pryde. Like, why are none of the male X-Men out there looking for Logan? It doesn't necessarily make sense. But we are in Madripoor, as the title suggests, and it does tie back into Wolverine's past quite a bit. So that's interesting. Also, there's a lot of subplots. There's a lot of threads and things we don't know, maybe more so in this book than any of the others. You know, Adamantium Agenda with Luke Cage and Jessica Jones, Spider-Man and Tony Stark, Iron Man. They had a bit of a mystery there too, but we kind of learned in issue 3 that Mr. Sinister is behind it all and maybe has DNA samples of every person on the planet. So it seems like we've kind of hit the high point of that one, and we just have issue 4 to wrap it all up. In Mystery in Madripoor, there's mysteries that still need to be solved. We still don't know who Sotiera is. She's kind of the woman behind the throne, so to speak, kind of directing Viper and the Femme Fatales on what they're supposed to be doing. There's this rocket launch we don't have a reason for. And as we're learning more about the Femme Fatales, there may be something going on with Psylocke. Magneto finally wakes up this issue, and what's going to happen with that. So it seems more than any other of these Hunt for Wolverine books that there's the most left to be resolved in issue 4 of Mystery in Madripoor, more so than any other. I find myself wondering how Zub is going to wrap everything up in only one more issue. And it makes me wonder if that the last kind of bookend, if that's going to kind of wrap up some of the stuff. You know, if there's not enough room in Mystery and Magic Port number 4, then will stuff bleed over into that final one shot? So let me go ahead and give a better synopsis of the title, get everybody caught up with what happened in this issue. Let's see here. Okay, yep. So it starts off a little bit of a flashback. And this is something I'm not sure if it had been in canon before or been mentioned before. But as I said, it does start with a flashback. Domino, it shows her and Wolverine in Madripoor fighting together. She's commenting on whenever Wolverine was involved in something with her, she knew she was always in for a good time. And, you know, he was fearless. He was cocky. He was ridiculously lucky. Death seemed impossible. unless you were on the other side, obviously. But then we see Wolverine and Domino being intimate. And that's something that I'm just not sure if that had ever been in canon before, right? I don't remember ever seeing it before. That's not to say that it didn't happen. But again, I just find myself unclear. I'm not completely caught up. I'm nowhere near caught up on my X-Men canon. So she does say, though, that this life that Wolverine had in Madripoor was built on trouble. And that's what Logan was and is and always has been, trouble. And that's why a relationship between the two of them would never last. But it's also why she's there looking for his body. You know, Kitty Pryde put together this team of ex-ladies, as Domino refers to them, to find out what Magneto knew about all this. And you know, we saw in the first issue, they show up in Madripoor and think they're talking to Magneto, and it's actually one of the femme fatales. So they are there now at the kind of the headquarters, I guess you'd say, of the femme fatales. They have captured Stenya, who is literally a rocket scientist who was hired by Viper to calculate flight paths for some kind of rocket launch. And we see him leading Domino, Jubilee, and Kitty Pryde to the launch pad to figure out what's going on, and also to find Storm, Rogue, and Psylocke. So Kitty Pryde and Jubilee infiltrate the base while Domino is charged with staying there and making sure that the rocket stays grounded. So it's pouring rain. And we see inside that Viper is talking to, I guess, the go-between between Viper's and her femme fatales and Sotira. And the go-between is saying that Sotira is insisting that they continue with the original timeline and launch before sunrise. And Viper's like, that's insane. The entire operation could be destroyed because she's not willing to wait. And the go-between says, don't question her motivation. There's far greater forces at play than you realize. I'm sure your engineering team can boost the rocket through the weather and compensate for any drift. So Viper's like, very well. And then we hear a laugh. She's like, oh, now what? And we see Sapphire, who's kind of the psychic of the team, the one who apparently killed Psylocke by absorbing her life force. She's screaming, he never left. So clever. I wish I'd never seen such weather. You know, clearly, she's kind of out of it. And Viper's like, what's going on? What are you talking about? And Snake Whip, one of the other femme fatales who's there, tries to stop her. And Sapphire yells out silence and body slams her mentally. Viper's like, what are you doing? She's like, isn't it obvious? Can't you see? I'm with our old friend here. And we saw at the end of last issue, Logan showed up, right? He was literally sitting in her room. Well, of course it was a fake out. And if Logan had been depicted the same way he's depicted here, we would have known that. But they cheated a little bit, which I'm never a fan of, because Logan was colored normally in that last page, that splash page, that surprise panel, if you will. But here he's colored pink. And so it's obvious he's some kind of, I don't know, to borrow a Star Wars term, force ghost or apparition or mental projection of Sapphire. And she says, it's Patch, Logan, Wolverine, X-Man, Weapon X, your ex-husband, who we thought had been executed. And he says, slow down, darling, you're getting ahead of yourself. Viper and the others can't see me, girl. I'm just here for you. So meanwhile, Sapphire calls for Mind Blast, who's another of the... I guess she's really the psychic, and Sapphire's more the psychic vampire, if you will, absorbing life forces. But Mind Blast, for whatever reason, is down there messing around with Magneto, literally sitting in Magneto's lap. You know, we know that she's the one who managed to incapacitate Magneto. Because none of this would be able to go down, what Viper and her femme fatales are doing for Sotira. None of that would be able to go down if Magneto was conscious. So Viper calls down for her, quit playing with Magneto, get up here. She's like, what? Why? Viper's like, something's messed with Sapphire. She's rambling. She's not making any sense. And so Mind Blast is like, oh, all right. Don't worry, Magneto. I'll be back later. And she grabs Knockout, who's kind of the muscle of the team, and heads upstairs. So as they're heading upstairs, they're ambushed by Jubilee and Kitty Pryde. And this time, I guess because Jubilee and Kitty Pryde are not taken by surprise, they seem to be holding their own. Meanwhile, on the roof, the launch site, Domino's trying to figure out how to stop the launch of the rocket and the satellite, because they're actually loading Rogue and Storm onto the rocket. So as they're waiting there, Bloodlust, another of the femme fatales, shows up. Looks like she slices up the rocket scientist and then heads for Domino. But Domino manages to hold her own. And we switch back to the fight inside. And Mind Blast, who really was kind of the femme fatale who was able to get the drop on the X-Ladies the first time around, they realize that she has some tech junk, as Jubilee calls it, fastened to her back. So Kitty manages to phase through the circuitry and disrupt it. And Mind Blast loses it. No, you ruined it. All the psychic enhancements the mistress gave me. So she's kind of down for the count. And as Knockout tries to get back in the fight, Mind Blast is like, no, we got to get out of here. You don't understand. Without the enhancements, Magneto is free. And Jubilee says, did she say Magneto? And Knockout's like, oh, crap. And yeah, we see a big rumble. Stuff starts to fall from the ceiling. And then we get a splash page of Magneto saying, enough. You will pay for what you've done. Meanwhile, Snake Whip is recovering from the body slam, the psychic body slam that Sapphire gave her. And she's like, what the? Is that Wolverine? So apparently, despite what this apparition Wolverine says, somebody other than Sapphire can't see him. And he's telling Sapphire it's time for payback. Should have never hitched her ride to his wagon. And Sapphire's like, don't let him kill me. And Viper still can't see it. She's like, what? There's no one here. Meanwhile, Viper gets informed by her guards that the launch site's under attack. She calls for the missile to be launched right then. And before the missile can launch, Magneto shows up. He's got Mind Blast kind of wrapped up in metal. And Kitty Pryde's like, Eric, leave her. We've got to stop the rocket. And Magneto's like, all right, I can do that. As Domino finally knocks Bloodlust down for the count, and the spirit or apparition Wolverine actually knocks Sapphire out of a window, we see him tell Sapphire, how many souls have you taken? How many people have you drained? Sapphire says, they're mine. You can't have them. Logan. And Domino's like, did she just say Logan? Logan's here? And she said, yes, he's buried inside me with all the others. And we see it ends here, Sapphire. And Domino hears that even. It's not just in Sapphire's mind. It ends here, Sapphire, no more. No more souls. And then we see another apparition of some sort, a much larger one, that possibly could be Betsy Braddock, Psylocke. And the launch is continuing. The countdown's at 18, but Magneto looks like he's got that well in hand. And we get the message to be concluded. So we do get a sneak peek of the cover of issue 4. And it does show Sapphire being grabbed by somebody's arm that very much looks like Psylocke. Because the other fist has that psychic dagger that we've seen so many times. So again, there's a lot to be wrapped up here. As I said, more so than any other Hunt for Wolverine final issue of the four different series, I feel like. So I am curious what exactly is going to happen. I think, as I said at the beginning of the episode, there are still some weak spots in the story for me. Pacing is the big one. And then obviously it just, again, why did none of the male X-Men go along on this hunt for Wolverine? It's just very strange to me. So, last thing I'll say is the art. I guess the art kind of suits the title in a way because it's kind of inconsistent. First issue was great. Second issue, not so great. Third issue's maybe a little better than the second. But not as good as the first. So I don't know if Tony Silas just had more time to work on the first issue. A lot of it has to do with the rendering. It's just not quite as detailed as I would like. It's got kind of thick lines. The proportions seem off in certain panels. Half the time Tony Silas is drawing he completely blacks out the eyes of characters, or they've got this massive ring of mascara where they look like they're wearing domino masks, even though they're not wearing masks at all. Or maybe they just went crazy with the mascara and eyeliner. I'm not sure. But it's just, as I said, inconsistent. I think the color work has been pretty consistent throughout. And it serves as a bridge between each issue, despite the inconsistency of the art. And it does give a certain tone to the book. Again, not my favorite of the titles. Better than Claws of the Killer, but solidly in third behind the other two, which I feel are really great, which is Weapon Lost and Adamantium Agenda. So I think that's going to do it for this episode. Unfortunately, Nick hasn't been able to join me lately. He's been really busy with the day job because I do like to have him on these Hunt for Wolverine spotlights. For a couple of reasons. Number one, because it was his idea in the first place. And second, just to give you guys kind of another perspective on the title. So hopefully he'll be back next week for the final issues of each of the four miniseries. So as always, I want to thank everybody for joining me. Please tell your friends about us. Subscribe and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on iTunes. Also, all past episodes of the podcast are available on all those platforms, as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're at the site, be sure and check out all the coverage on all the other pop culture coverage, I should say, of your favorite and upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. Next convention I'll be at is Comic-Con Palm Springs, coming up the last weekend of August. So if you're going to be there, look me up, track me down. Hook you up with the free Comic Source lanyard, take a picture, all that kind of good stuff. So once again, I want to thank everyone for joining me, and we'll talk to you next time.